Luke 17, verse 11 and following. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Well, we've come far enough in the book of Luke, and knowing the fact that Luke was a physician, that we know that when Luke describes sickness, that there's meaning behind that sickness. We've been introduced, for instance, to that lady who was bent over double for I believe it was 17 years, who Jesus healed there on that Sabbath day, and it's of course a picture of being weighted down spiritually, bent over, carrying around our concerns and casting our concerns then on the Lord and finding relief from Him. We learned about the man with edema, the man who was swollen, and how that also illustrated for us spiritual truths as well, as Jesus uses that as an illustration to the Pharisees of being self-centered, self-absorbed, and so that was an example that Luke uses. And so this evening, as we come to this passage on these lepers, it's no surprise that Luke has broader spiritual things that he is concerned that we understand, and that's of note. That's even perhaps less surprise to us than an illustration of somebody who's bent over or someone struggling with edema, because when you think about the scripture and physical conditions that represent spiritual realities, leprosy is certainly near the top of the list. If not, your immediate reaction may be, well, it'd be at the top of the list in representing uncleanness. I would submit to you that perhaps the physical condition of death is even more spiritually and more significantly drawn on in the scripture. But in terms of a live person illustrating spiritual brokenness and spiritual difficulty, certainly leprosy is probably the top living condition that we see that pictures sin. And here Jesus interacts not with, of course, not with just one leper, but we're struck with the fact that it's actually 10 lepers, and so it's a whole group of lepers. I don't think it's called a flock of lepers or a club of lepers or something like that, but maybe there is some sort of a statement about this. Well, what physical condition, or what spiritual condition rather, is pictured by the physical condition of leprosy? Well, the Old Testament has a lot to say about leprosy, of course, and Leviticus 13 and 14 are two chapters that are devoted to the subject of leprosy. And the whole concept of leprosy is the concept of uncleanness, of being separated, cut off from the people of God, and not only from the people of God, but from the worship of God, and really from, in a sense, fellowship with God Himself, because it's a sickness that keeps you from being able to go into the temple setting, into the tabernacle, to worship along with the other people of God. There's nothing in the scripture, for instance, if I'm in the Old Testament, that says that because I have a cough, I can't go into the temple and offer a sacrifice or a fever or some sort of a cancer, that you would still be welcome in the temple. But not, that was not the case with leprosy, of course. And so this is a picture of uncleanness and the uncleanness that sin causes. And the lepers, of course, were put outside the camp at a distance from everyone else and had to call out when anyone approached them that they were unclean, unclean, so that people would not venture near to them. And Jesus is showing, of course, here what? He's showing his power to cleanse that which is unclean. And we've seen this in other places in the Gospels as well, as Jesus interacts with people who are unholy and unrighteous, and instead of the unholiness and uncleanness rubbing off on him, as we would expect the case to be, actually his cleanness is extended to unclean people and cleanses them from their sin, right? It's opposite of the way that we would think of it as being, right? You don't drop a cookie in the middle of a dirty spot, a real, muddy spot, say, on your kitchen floor and say, well, this is great. Now we don't have to mop. And now we have a cookie and a clean floor. You say, oh, now I've ruined the cookie and I still have to mop. Well, that's not the case with Christ, of course. Jesus is the one who is so clean and has the power to cleanse that which is unclean. And so as these lepers meet him, of course, they call out to him for mercy, apparently knowing some about who he was, calling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus shows his power over their leprosy and remember that the miracles are done to show Christ's power not only over the physical realm, but over the spiritual realm as well. Remember, as the paralytic is lowered down and Jesus says, I forgive your sin, and in order that you might know, Pharisees, that I have the power to forgive sin, I also say to you, paralytic, stand up and walk. And so Jesus is showing not only his power over the physical realm in these miracles, but he's showing his power in the spiritual realm as well. And so he is demonstrating that power over uncleanness. And he directs these men on their way to go on their way to the priests in order to have their cleanness confirmed, and then they would have offered, as Leviticus prescribes, they would have offered sacrifices in order to be restored entirely. And of course, one of the things that stands out in this parable, in this account, is not only Jesus' power to cleanse unclean people, but his willingness to cleanse even a Samaritan, unclean person. And Jesus is already beginning in his ministry to, if you will, to build the bridge that the apostles and the early church will have to cross more fully in the book of Acts, as they see the Holy Spirit coming on the Samaritans, as they see the gospel going forth to the Gentile nations and the people all around, and they say, well, what does this mean? How do we incorporate these people into the life of the church? And you know from the letters of Paul, of course, how difficult this was for the early church to incorporate and to truly believe that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. But just think of with how difficult that was for the early church, how much more difficult it would have been without situations like this, where Jesus extended his ministry, his personal ministry, to those outside of the Jewish community. So Jesus is paving the way for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, that even those who are far off and those who are unclean, those who are barred from the temple through Christ, can find forgiveness of sins. Those who are afar off, can find redemption and peace through Jesus Christ. And that in and of itself, brothers and sisters, is a glorious truth. The people who are unclean, the people who are sent, who are stained with grotesque sin, people who are weighed down with sins that have separated them from others, that have led other people to shun them and to want nothing to do with them, that those people in Jesus Christ can find forgiveness of sins and that Jesus has the power to cleanse uncleanness and to make that which is unclean, clean. And so we have here a picture of the power of Christ to forgive sin. But that's not the only lesson that Luke wants us to get from the healing of the 10 lepers. He also wants us to see the mechanism. Not only does Christ heal and cleanse those who are unclean, not only does Jesus forgive sins of fallen people, but we also see here the mechanism through which Jesus saves fallen people. The mechanism. And what is that mechanism that's demonstrated? And specifically in this regard, the healings of Christ are painted for us in a way that emphasizes different lessons. In one regard, they're similar, or in this regard, they're similar to the parables, where the parables draw out different lessons, and a parable has a primary point, doesn't it? Well, in the different healings, we see primary points, primary teachings about who Jesus is and how he heals, how he changes people, that's drawn out for us. And what's unique about this healing? What's unique about this healing? I believe than any other healing that Jesus does. Jesus sends the lepers away in their leprosy. It's pretty astonishing. It's really, it's quite counterintuitive. If you're one of these lepers, you know, we've heard about you, Jesus. You're going all over healing people. You're the one with the power. And we are, you know, there are all these multitudes following you. It's hard to get you alone. It's hard to track you down. Because whenever we try to get near, nobody wants us to come near. And we aren't allowed to legally because we have leprosy. And so now we finally got you. And you're sending us away still with our leprosy. I don't like this arrangement, Jesus, is at least kind of what I think I would have been thinking. You know, I'd really like to have this done now so that, you know, so that if there's any hitch, if there's any problem, then I can ask for, you know, some more help. Maybe, you know, like if this only works, your healing only works on the lower half of my body, then I can say, hey, but what about the upper half of my body or something like that, right? You forgot the left-hand side. You got the right-hand side. Something like that. But Jesus sends them away. And then as they are going, that is when they are cleansed. Go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. What's Jesus teaching? Why does he do this miracle this way? Well, Jesus is illustrating a couple fundamental principles of Christianity. The first principle is that dirty people come to Jesus to be cleansed. And why is that important? Well, there's always the question in the back of our minds of the question that people ask cleaners, house cleaners, when they call them to arrange for a visit, which is what? How much cleaning do I have to do before you'll come? How much of this do I have to do before you'll come? And one of the things that this healing illustrates for us is that it's not cleansed people who come to Jesus and find salvation. It's people who are unclean who can come to Jesus and find salvation. Charles Spurgeon said, sinners as sinners are to believe in Jesus for eternal life. Our belief in Jesus Christ for eternal life and for salvation is as sinners. It's not, we don't come to him as righteous people seeking eternal life. We come to him as sinners. And along with that then, faith precedes cleansing. Right? We place our faith in Jesus Christ in order to be cleansed, and then we are cleansed. And that's exactly what Jesus calls these lepers to do. Believe that I'm going, you know, how ridiculous in one sense is it to head down the road to meet with the priest who's going to judge whether your skin is clean or not, when I can look down right here and see no priest is going to say that this is clean skin. Unless I happen to be there on the day that the blind priest is in, you know, this is not going to work. And Jesus calls them to exercise faith in order to be cleansed. In a similar way, Jesus doesn't take away our sin and then we exercise faith in him. We believe in order to be cleansed of sin. We believe and then are declared justified. And we are called to act on that belief that we are cleansed, and to act on the belief that he is able to and willing to forgive our sin and to walk in faith that he will do this even before we see the evidence of this in our own life. Right? So it's not like, oh, I see progress, you know, in my growth in holiness. I don't like sin as well as I used to. Now I'll trust in Jesus. No, that's not the way that salvation works. We come to Jesus as unclean people. And we say, Jesus, my life is a mess. I've ruined this soul that you've given to me. I've ruined my brain. My heart is stained with sin. My life is unclean. And I come to you to be cleansed of this sin. And I come by faith that you alone are able to cleanse me from sin. And then Jesus declares us justified. Your sin is forgiven. Go your way. So faith precedes cleansing. Notice also that in these lepers that we have an example of what we're called to do in sanctification. And we've been talking about this in our adult class. Believing in our union with Jesus Christ. Believing the promises of Scripture. Believing what Christ has done for us and living in accordance with those realities. And Paul challenges us throughout the Pauline epistles to do this, to recognize that you are the saints of God. You are the holy ones. Jesus Christ has given you an inheritance beyond your comprehension. And then he calls us to live that way. Romans, for those of you in the high school group who were in our study this past week, the Latham led us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. What's it doing? It's saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in view of God's mercies, in view of chapters 1 through 11, of all that God's done for you, in view of all these things, now offer yourselves as living sacrifices. In a similar way, how this ties in is, Jesus called these 10 men to act on his promises and to believe and to walk by faith, even though the evidence wasn't there for them to see yet. You go to the priests believing that Christ would cleanse them. Believing, and we in a similar way are to walk as citizens of the new heavens and new earth, believing that our citizenship is not here, believing that I'm not really of this world, that I'm of a different family, a different people, of a kingdom of priests that have been set apart by Jesus Christ to serve him. So sinner, Jesus can heal uncleanness and sinners, and he does this through the mechanism of faith. And our response to this is to be thankful. And that's where this healing ends up, isn't it? Jesus has healed your leprosy. If you're in Jesus Christ, doesn't matter tonight whether you feel like a sinner or like a saint. It doesn't matter which way you feel. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are a saint because Jesus Christ has taken your sin away from you. And so therefore, you and I need to give thanks to the Lord for that. Of course, that's illustrated for us, and we're taught that by this 10th leper, this Samaritan leper, who comes back to Jesus in order to give thanks. Jesus asks them there, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Why is only one coming back to give thanks? One answer that's positive in answering Jesus' question there is, that in fact, that the other 9 were saved from their leprosy, but that actually, in a salvific sense, only the Samaritan demonstrates that he has a true understanding of who Jesus is. And there in verse 19, your faith has made you well, when it says that. And there's actually many who would argue that angle, that direction. The problem with that is, it seems very clear that all 10 exercised faith in being willing to walk away from Jesus and walk by faith and head, you know, it is a major walk of faith to head down to Jerusalem to be declared clean when you aren't really clean. I think instead what's being emphasized here is the fact that it's the Samaritan who comes back out of the 10 to give thanks. And what's being emphasized here is the fact that that the covenant people of God, and the text seems to indicate that the one is a foreigner and that the other 9 would have been Israelites. And what it's teaching us is, and showing us, is the danger that we as the covenant people of God have, the danger that we're in of having an entitlement mentality, of no longer standing in amazement at the great things that Jesus Christ has done for us. And there's a danger that we have as covenant people, and it's a danger especially for those of you who are covenant children. Even if you're older covenant children, you still fall into this. You know, you can be 80 years old and still be a covenant child, in the sense of you were born into the church, born into the people of God, and born into the covenant promises of God and raised on these things. And there's a danger for us as covenant children in particular, but it's true for all the covenant people of God, of presuming upon the grace and mercy of God and treating it as if it's no big deal. of believing in us and of being so used to being blessed that we just expect blessing and think of ourselves as deserving. Maybe we'd articulate, yes, I know I'm a sinner and blessing is only by God's grace. But also, of course, I deserve these blessings because I serve God. And that's just the way it is. God does great things for me, and that's just who He is, and that's who I am, and it's a great arrangement. And we can get to the point where we no longer are awestruck by the graciousness of God toward us. And where we no longer find it an amazing thing that Jesus Christ can cleanse us, that Jesus Christ would cleanse us, that He would forgive us and care about us. And in this context here, I think that it fits. Because, and in the broader context of chapter 17, it fits. Remember, look at verses 5 through 10. It's what we ended with last week. It's talking about how we can be like those people, like somebody who's a servant, who comes in after a day of work and expects to be allowed to just sit down and not have to make food for the master, right? Well, in a similar way, we can get to this attitude of saying, like, Jesus owes it to me. And have the entitlement mentality. And so this account, and this, the reason there are 10 lepers and not just one leper is to illustrate for us the danger that we are in of not retaining a thankful awe of the things of God. Not retaining an awe of what God has done for us. And that if you're not mindful of your cleansing, if you're not mindful of the power of Jesus Christ that's been extended to you to forgive a sinner like you, like me, that your worship will be lacking. We read this and it's a scandalous to us, isn't it? To think, here are 10 people cut off from their families, cut off from worship, just living a life of, just a horrible life, where they have to wander around and just scrounge for food and clothing, and it's not a happy life. Being a leper, you know, watch Ben-Hur, if you want to see this illustrated, right? Or, you know, read other things, but it's not a good life to be a leper. And it's scandalous to us that only 1 out of 10 would come back to Jesus to say thanks. But, do we bat 1 out of 10 in times that we come to worship on the Lord's Day and are truly thankful to God for what He's done? And that our mouths are just filled with His praise? Do we average 1 service out of 10 where we are truly thankful to the Lord? Is there 1 in 10 of us who's really committed to giving thanks today in the way that we ought to Jesus Christ? And have we received anything less than these 10 lepers have? No, we haven't at all. And so instead of being scandalized by them, we do well to see ourselves and our own spiritual apathy and our own entitlement mentality in the 9 and to identify not with the Samaritan, but to identify with the 9 who just took it as an ordinary thing to be cleansed by Jesus Christ. The Lord has done great things for us, brothers and sisters. But do we see it? And are we thankful for it? Does our singing reflect hearts of thanksgiving to Jesus Christ? Does it reflect that our Jesus, do our lives reflect Jesus? You've saved me. You've cleansed me. You deserve the whole thing of my life. You deserve everything about me, everything I can give you. There's nothing you can ask of me that is too ridiculous, it's too high. Or are we like the nine who say, I have my own agenda, I have my own places to go. I don't have time to live a life of thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has healed our leprosy, our uncleanness. He's taken it on Himself, taken it away from us in order that you might be cleansed. And He calls us to look at that and to not see just something that we're entitled to, something of minor importance, but to see a truth that changes our lives and to live lives of thankful awe because of His cleaning us. Let's pray. Lord, how ungrateful we are. That You would forgive our sins. You would adopt us into Your family. That You would give us Your word. You'd make us fellow heirs, sharers with You of Your victory that we had no part in securing whatsoever. And yet You allow us to share in the spoils of that victory. And yet, Lord, it's often all that we can do to just get ourselves here to church, much less to come truly thanking You. It's all that we can do sometimes to just get through our days, not even having words of praise on our lips, not even thanking You. And we confess that to You. We praise You, Lord Jesus, that You are the great healer, the one who can take away our sinful leprosy, our uncleanness from us. And Lord, You've done that, and You've used our faith. You've given us faith so that we might trust in You. And You've cleansed us and forgiven our sins. Lord, remind us of this truth and make us like that Samaritan brother who came back to You to thank You for what You had done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.